Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check, Nebo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer. Here we are, our last episode of the week. And, you know, it has been a week full of news, if not full of new Housewives shows, as we have talked about. And so, why not one more? You know, I'm recording this just so we're all on the same page. It's Tuesday night as I'm recording this. I had a great episode earlier today that I recorded with Sarah Galley, which will have come out yesterday when you're listening to this. So go catch up. We talked about a lot of the other news and updates from this week if you haven't had a chance to listen to that so far. But as I'm sitting down to record this on Tuesday night, we've got one more thing to talk about, and that is a reported new casting for Roni season 15, which we have seen. They've started to film out and about in New York City. So, you know, coming later this year, we should have, you know, fresh Roni episodes to look forward to. But we got to talk about who is reportedly joining the cast. And that is one Rebecca Minkoff. Now, if you are not familiar, Rebecca Minkoff is a very successful fashion designer. She has an eponymous fashion brand that was founded in 2005 with her brother Yuri, handling a lot of the business stuff. She's in, you know, department stores. She has her own stores. She's sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of stuff. Her handbags are very well known. And according to Deadline sources, she is joining the upcoming season in some capacity. We don't know yet whether she's going to be a full-time housewife or maybe a friend of, or perhaps, I don't know, some secret third thing that we don't know about yet. But this is interesting because, of course, a couple weeks ago, we got the announcement that the entire season 14 cast, aka the reboot cast, was going to be returning. Somewhat surprising. I think most people thought Jenna would not be coming back. And there had also been some question marks around Psy. Well, apparently, the reporting is that Rebecca is going to be actually joining the show via Psy, at least in Housewives land. They're going to act like Psy and Rebecca know each other. I don't know how well they do or don't know each other. That can be a wide range depending on the situation. But interestingly, something that I was not aware about until just about, you know, 20 minutes or so ago, is that not only is Rebecca Minkoff a well-known and successful fashion designer, but she is also a longtime member of the Church of Scientology. I feel like we got to talk about this. Now, I'm not the world's utmost expert in Scientology, but I'm also not the world's most clueless person about Scientology. I've watched Going Clear. I've done some reading. You know, it's something that over the years I feel like has permeated my consciousness enough that I'm aware enough to have thoughts and feelings about it. And I would say my thoughts and feelings lean in the direction of not great. If you've ingested any information about Scientology over the years, I feel like you may have come to a similar conclusion. I'm not going to get deep into the details of why Scientology is, shall we say, a red flag when it comes to life choices and how I feel about somebody's judgment, but there's a lot there. And The stuff with Rebecca Minkoff is interesting because I saw, you know, after this casting was reported, people on social media saying, oh, she's a Scientologist, XYZ. And, you know, there are different ways that people have relationships to things like this. There are lots of celebrities that have been in and out of the Church of Scientology at different points. There are people who have maybe ties to the church but have not been sort of, I don't know, card-carrying Xenu worshiping members. It's a little bit weird. I mean, like, for years, this is alleged. People have said, like, Will and Jada Smith have whatever ties, and they've said they don't, and maybe they do, and maybe they don't. Like, what I'm trying to say is that the Church of Scientology is one thing, and there are people whose names have been connected to it who may or may not actually be sort of full members. And so when somebody comments one thing on Twitter, you want to do a little bit more digging than that, because anybody can say anything about anyone, and those things can carry weight. So I did my little digging, and again, as I said, I'm not the world's foremost expert, but I have access to Google just like anyone else. And Rebecca Minkoff has been open about her membership in the Church of Scientology. There's an article in the New York Times from when she released a self-help book back in 2021. The title of the book is, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. And in this New York Times piece, they talk about how in this book, you know, she's talking about all these different rules for unlocking your potential and XYZ, and how burnout is a challenging thing to overcome. And she writes about, different things that she's overcome in her life. And this caught my eye. It says, Ms. Minkoff offers details of these setbacks with humor and candor, but one aspect of her life goes unaddressed. Her membership in the Church of Scientology, which was founded upon another self-help book, L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics. LOL. While she hasn't spoken publicly about them before, Ms. Minkoff said she does not hide her beliefs. Quote, I'm totally open, she said, but it's not my job to proselytize. Over the years, she said people have expressed confusion that she identifies as both Jewish and a Scientologist. Here's another quote. I think there's a lot of confusion when people hear the word religion. This is my note. Famously, the Church of Scientology is recognized as a religion by the U.S. government, meaning that they don't pay taxes. This is something that has been a major point of contention. But this, back to her quote, immediately you hear that I pray to L. Ron Hubbard. I study it, I take classes, and that's the extent of it. And it's helped me stay centered. I don't have all the answers. When I needed someone, it was a place for me to get some answers. She has referred to what she calls horrific misinformation about the church and its belief system, which she considers more of a self-improvement philosophy. And here's the thing. If she considers it to be a self-improvement philosophy, who am I to argue with her consideration of it? But I feel like there are a lot of people who have spoken bravely and openly about their extremely negative experiences with the organization that is the Church of Scientology. And I think, while I maybe can't argue with her characterization of it, I think that they have a lot of grounds to argue with her characterization of it. And, I don't want to be on a soapbox here, but it's troubling to see that somebody, this is in recent times, this is 2021, is holding the party line in this way. And so this was interesting to me. This is in the New York Times. She's speaking on the record here. So she clearly is not trying to hide her affiliation. She's not trying to deny her affiliation. So I did a little more digging. Reportedly, her brother, Yuri Minkoff, is involved with the Office of Special Affairs, which is Scientology's intelligence agency. You might ask yourself, why does a religion need an intelligence agency? I would ask the same. I don't know the answer. It doesn't make me feel great. But then another thing, this is a little more interesting. And again, I'm presenting information here, and I was curious. So Rebecca and Yuri's father is this guy named David Minkoff. And David Minkoff is a doctor who is also a Scientologist and has been a Scientologist for a very long time. And if you look up his name, something that comes up that is interesting, and I don't don't know too much about, but I want to know more about is, this is a Wikipedia article, and the title of the article is just Death of Lisa McPherson. And you know, if you're somebody like me who is prone to fall down a Wikipedia rabbit hole, you know that there are those pages that really just suck you in that are like disappearance of such and such name, death of this person, mysterious disappearances in history. If I'm doing like a command F search of your name and it's coming up five times on a page called Death of Lisa McPherson, there might be some questions. And I mean, this situation, I don't want to make light. It's bad. Basically, I mean, the TLDR is in 1995, there was this woman, Lisa McPherson, who was a Scientologist, and she died after, first she was in a minor traffic accident where she seemed unharmed, but then she removed her clothes in the street. She was transported to a local hospital to receive psychiatric intervention. And to avoid that, if you aren't aware, Scientology is very anti psychology and psychiatry. That is like a foundational tenet of the Church of Scientology. So they convinced her to leave the hospital and seek care at a Church of Scientology site nearby, where she was, and I'm reading this directly from Wikipedia, so I don't get it wrong. She was held against her will for 17 days without any medical care while her physical and mental condition rapidly deteriorated and she died. She was then ruled to be a victim of negligent homicide, and this Scientology, you know, sub-organization was indicted on two felony charges, abuse and or neglect of a disabled adult and practicing medicine without a license. The charges were later dropped, but there was a civil suit that was settled in 2004. So if you're wondering where David Minkoff comes into this, a couple things. So first of all, prior to this accident, which was in November of 1995, and then she passed away in December, David Minkoff had prescribed McPherson Valium and chloral hydrate twice without ever examining her, which is, I believe, illegal, based on the settlement that he paid, that he ended up paying. And then later he was asked to treat her. He refused. It's a whole thing. If you want to go into the deep dive, like I am going to do after I finish recording this episode. But that is Rebecca Minkoff's father. So if you're wondering about the whole Scientology thing, it goes deep in this family. And I would really, really be interested for this to be a topic of conversation on Real Housewives of New York. I don't know how equipped these ladies would be to handle it. I don't know if they will be kind of game to go down that road, but to be quite honest, I feel like we're in an era of housewives where if there is somebody who is on the record about being involved with an organization like this, and Bravo is going to make the choice to platform them and put them on the network, I would like to see somebody else, you know, stand up in regards to that. And you know, if it's going to be a whole thing, if it's going to be shut down, I think it would be very telling either way. So yeah, I guess Roni season 15 is progressing. I don't know. I didn't mean to talk about that for 12 minutes just now, but it's certainly interesting to me, and I don't know if it's interesting to everyone else, but if it is, we'll see. Let me know. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. I am going to talk a little bit about Vanderpump Rules, but first, did you guys see that? Sorry, this is like a total pivot from talking about Scientology, but did you guys see that Peacock has opened the vault? This is kind of exciting. So Peacock, obviously, since Peacock launched, it's like, okay, great. If NBC Universal has a streaming service, like, let's put all the Bravo shows on there, because if not now, when? If not Peacock, where? And it's been a little bit of a slow climb. You know, first they were, you know, not putting the current seasons up. It was taking a while. Last year, we finally got to the point where they were putting up episodes next day, which is a game changer. So much of a game changer. It has been just amazing to finally have these episodes just available on streaming forever, seemingly. I mean, until what, like NBC gets sold? I don't know. But they are finally doing the thing that I think a lot of us wanted them to do from day one, which is putting up some of these old, sort of forgotten, depending on who you ask, Bravo shows that have been really hard to watch. If you don't want to like buy full seasons on iTunes, or some of them maybe weren't even available on there. But I'm just going to rattle off this list of shows. And honestly, I feel like I might end up talking about some of these shows and revisiting them or visiting them for the first time in the next month or so. Because as we've talked about, we're in a weird period for new Bravo content. And so this could be the perfect time to go through and watch some of these shows, whether it's just you at home or whether it's me talking about it on the podcast. But I'm going to read this list and let me know if anything jumps out at you. Blood, Sweat, and Heels, Million Dollar Decorators, Candy's Wedding, Shaws of Sunset. The fact that Shaws of Sunset wasn't fully just on Peacock before, what are we doing here? Thicker Than Water, I don't even know what that one is. Like some of these are like either before my time or have slipped through the cracks. Don't Be Tardy, LOL, I won't be doing Don't Be Tardy rewatch, so don't ask. NYC Prep, Real Housewives of DC, I Dream of Nene, The Wedding, Top Chef Just Desserts, Tabitha Takes Over, The Real Housewives of Potomac, Karen's Grand Dame Reunion, The Rachel Zoe Project, and Married to Medicine Los Angeles. Now, some of these are, of course, kind of like more iconic in the Bravo canon than others. I mean, like, I probably won't be really revisiting Married to Medicine Los Angeles or Candy's Wedding. Like I don't feel like there's that much of a demand for like a Candy's Wedding rewatch podcast. But you guys, the one on here that sticks out to me more than anything else, and there are a few, I mean, I have never dived into Tabitha Takes Over. I feel like that sounds fun. Rachel Zoe Project, of course, is iconic. But NYC Prep. You guys, NYC Prep was the first Bravo show I ever watched. How old was I when NYC Prep came on? I think I was like 14, 15. If that makes you feel old or young or whatever, sorry, you're welcome. I don't know. But I was watching this show in high school, and I was a gay Midwestern teen, and I was watching these kids who were like perhaps one or two or three years older than me, and I thought they were fucking superstars. I thought they were so cool. Watching that guy Sebastian with the swoopy hair who spoke French talk about how he hooks up with girls and how he has parties at restaurants. I was knocked off my feet. I couldn't believe it. And you know what? Back in 2009, you know who spoke at my high school? Andy Cohen. Because if you don't know, Andy Cohen and I are both from St. Louis, Missouri. So I don't know. Somebody pulled some strings and Andy Cohen spoke at my school. And there was a little Q&A. And in the Q&A, the question that I asked, I shot my hand up. I didn't watch Housewives at the time. I didn't watch anything. And I asked if we were getting a season 2 of NYC Prep. Because I was like, where the fuck is it? I had read somewhere online that there was going to be a season 2. And then they took it away from me. It never happened. And Andy was like, you know, he gave an answer that was like, oh, some of the most interesting people on the show graduated from high school, so they wouldn't be on it. And it's like, you know, do we really want to do this? I mean, I feel like the real reason they didn't do a season 2 was because it was probably a fucking nightmare to like film these literal children like drinking and partying in New York City. And then they're like crying about not getting into Ivy League schools. And it's like, respectfully, you were like making out with a 15-year-old on national TV and then like being a brat to your housekeeper. Did you think that was going to help your Common App? At a certain point, the SAT score can only counteract so much. No, but I actually am very curious to rewatch NYC Prep. And so maybe that's something that in a week or two we can revisit. But let me know, seriously, let me know in a DM, or maybe I'll do a little question box on Instagram, or hey, a 5-star review. Let me know if there are any of these vault shows that you're particularly into the idea of hearing about, because honestly, a lot of them I have not really watched before. I have seen Real Housewives of DC. That's a journey. We could do that. You know, I could watch some episodes of Tabitha, of Rachel Zoe. I'm looking at what else is on this list. I mean, Shaz, I feel like, is already sort of like, Shaz is not in the vault as much as some of these. But yeah, it could be a fun little exercise. So let me know what you're into. But NYC Prep, God. Sebastian is now married to this like food influencer, Skylar, who I randomly followed years ago. And then when she started dating Sebastian and like posting him on her Instagram, I was like, wait, what do you mean Sebastian Oppenheim? Like, what do you mean? Not the same guy. And it's the same guy. And they've addressed that he was on the show before and that he's like, LOL. Now I think he works in like investment banking. Like, okay. I could recap NYC Prep right now, and I haven't even watched it in like a decade. This one girl, her dream is to be a pop star. I don't think it worked out for her. And there's like one girl who goes to public school. Ugh, it's so good. Like, you kind of feel bad for her because she's like, oh, like I go to public school. I went to public school, so I can say that. Like, my 15-year-old ass is watching this show, fully going to public school, and watching this show feeling bad for the girl that goes to public school. And I liked going to public school. We got to move on. Please tell me to watch NYC Prep so I can justify it. Spring has sprung, and that means it's time for some spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring ones, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you're purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, new warm weather bedding, or a flight for that summer getaway. Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash back that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying by using the code MENTION when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code MENTION. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code MENTION.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Vanderpump Rules. We're barreling our way through this season. You know, Lala's pinning the sperm on the vagina. Sheena's making her Good as Gold music video, which Katie couldn't come to because she was sick. One of the big things that happens this week is that Rachel's big podcast appearance hits the airwaves. And I'm assuming this is her appearance on Bethany's podcast. I'm like, unless I missed something else that happened last summer, it is really funny to think of. They don't say Bethany's name. And I think they probably wouldn't have anyway, just because it would be like a little bit like fourth wall breaky. If it's like, yo, Rachel's on Bethany's podcast. Like, Bethany who? Bethany Frankel. I don't think they would have done that. But especially, I imagine that now Bethany is sort of bravo, bravo, fucking bravo type of word that we don't say. But yeah, we don't really speak about Bethany in this house anymore. But this podcast, it is so funny to imagine Tom Sandoval and James and Allie and whoever else in the cast put themselves through this, sitting down, putting on their headphones and pressing play on Rewives, the Bethany Frankel podcast, and like actually listening to an hour of this, or if they listen to all three parts, I can't even imagine. But like, how funny is that? Obviously, all these people have podcasts. You know, who listens to everybody's podcast? I don't know. Like, I thank you all for listening to this podcast. But like, we don't all listen to all of them. I'm not out here listening to Shenanigans every week. I dip in, I dip out. God, the dipped out shirt that Tom wears. Oh my God, I can't even go there. I can't even go there. I'm so sorry. But it is funny to imagine like the entire cast of Vanderpump Rules at some point during filming sitting down to listen to Bethany's podcast, because it's like, it's sort of like their homework. It's like, if you're going to come to class, you need to have done the reading. And for this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules, like, doing the reading is listening to Rewives with Bethany Frankel featuring Rachel Levis. But anyway, Tom is listening and he's heartbroken because he's hearing from the horse's mouth, Raquel, Rachel, that she is, you know, moving on and done and whatever. And even though he knew, he didn't know until he heard her say it. And it's like, I think that this was what Tom needed. Now, if you go back in the archives and you listen to me talk about Rachel on Bethany's podcast, I don't know if it's what any of us needed, but I think, as much as I want anybody to be all right and to move on and to live their life, I want that for Tom Sandoval. And I think if he needed the closure of hearing Raquel say on another disgraced Bravo Celebrities podcast that she was no longer in love with him, I'm glad that he got that, at the very least. I do think it's really funny in hindsight to see Schwartz be like, yeah, I mean, she needed to like speak about it one time, one last time before she starts her new life. And now it's like 9 months later and Raquel, in fact, just has a podcast where she talks about this pretty much every single week. It's like, oh, were we ever so young that we thought Rachel was going to speak about Scandoval one time and then leave it in the past. I mean, get your bag. I respect the hustle, but it is funny that we were like, oh yeah, she's like speaking her piece and then we're never going to hear from her again. Tom is doing brunch now. What a revolution. It is like, it's distinctly like 5 years too late to be like, now we do brunch. Like, more than five. I mean, I don't know how many years ago Tom actually opened, but like, I feel like Tom should have opened with brunch. What are we even doing? To be like, oh, wow, in 2023, bottomless brunch. I don't even know if it's bottomless. It's probably not. I bet they're charging by the drink. But aside from Rachel on Bethany's podcast, the big thing that has happened this week, really, is that Ariana has made the big decision to accept Tom Sandoval's offer to buy her out of the house. And lo and behold, now Tom has decided that he doesn't know if it's still the right thing for him or if he can physically afford it, because he's saying he made this offer 2 months ago and that now, if he had to refinance the home, that the monthly amount that he's paying would double. And I do just wonder, right now, if you're splitting the mortgage with Ariana and she would no longer be paying her portion of the mortgage, wouldn't Tom's portion double automatically? Like, if the rent is $10,000, or not the rent, the mortgage payment, and you're paying five, and Ariana's paying five, and Ariana's not paying her five anymore, you're paying 10. Now, I am far from the most knowledgeable when it comes to mortgages, because I've never had one. I rent. Who do you think I am? But I'm like, okay, I don't actually feel bad that if you owned the whole house versus sharing it, that your payment would go up. Like, yeah. Was it not that way 2 months ago when you made the offer? It's not like you were buying her out during like the mortgage crisis in 2008. It was like May and now it's July. I don't think, you know, I hear commercials about like the interest rates and the Fed, and I don't think they like bottomed out in May of last year. I think it was already kind of bad. I'm going to get DMs that are like, actually, it was still a seller's market in May of last year. So Sandoval had a point. Leave me alone with the details of the mortgage, of the mortgage economy. Oh, but this is just rough. I mean, look, was it a little shitty that Ariana maybe dragged her feet a little bit? Sure. Okay. I don't think that this season of Vanderpump Rules needs to be something where we're like not ever criticizing Ariana. I think that there are people who are watching this season and acting like everybody else thinks that Ariana is like completely above, you know, a point of being able to be critiqued at all. And I don't think that's true. I mean, would it have been more considerate to let Tom know in a more timely manner whether or not you were going to accept his offer? Yes. But also, it's like, if you don't want to buy the house anymore, then just sell the house. Like, Schwartz and Sandoval talking about being roommates, it's like, that's not going to fucking happen. I will say, watching the scene of Brock and Sheena go over to that house and helping Ariana like tidy up a little bit, they are living in a shocking state. The amount of like PR packages and like shoe boxes and piles of junk, not even junk, but like new stuff that they've been sent. And I understand Ariana's logic that she's like, if I'm about to move out, I'm not going to like unpack all these boxes and then have to like repack them. But like, living in a PR package hellscape is like my absolute nightmare. Like, more my nightmare than anything else is my nightmare is living in a house that is just like stacked up with like last crumb cookies and like whatever the latest product is from Summer Fridays in a big ass fucking PR box. Like, oh my God, get a storage unit. Get a fucking storage unit. Eat the last crumb cookies. They're good. I haven't tried them, but I see unboxings on TikTok and I wish I had them if they weren't like $100 for the box. Eat the cookies. I don't know. I can't get that excited about the whole like Lala saying that Katie was unhappy behind her back. Like, it's just, it's a little bit like, okay, we get it. Like, Lala clearly is being deployed in a certain way this season. I don't think that she and Katie actually have that like crazy of beef with each other, except for if they do. And then I still don't necessarily care that much. I don't know. I feel like the Lala dynamics with the group, I'm kind of just like checked out a little bit toward the end of the season, because I feel like I don't actually think she cares that much about being friendly to Sandoval. I don't think she like is necessarily that invested with any of them. I think she's like, here to do her job. I'm happy she's having her baby. Her timeline worked out exactly that she says she wants for the sperm donor. She gets to host her thing at Lisa's house. Everybody's happy. Well, not everybody's happy. James and Allie, the conversation between James and Allie is a little bit strange to me because, so James clearly has some triggers from his relationship with Raquel, and the fact that he was with Raquel for 5 years and they didn't end up married and they didn't end up having kids together is clearly kind of like still plaguing him with some insecurities, because now he has been with Allie for a year and a half, he says, and he is nervous that she isn't ready to get engaged and to have kids and to do all this stuff. And first of all, Allie is 28. She was 27 when they were filming the season. I'm looking. Her birthday's in January. Allie is just not at an age, like, she's a little younger than I am. And I can just tell you, if I was with somebody for a year and a half, would I be considering my future with them? Absolutely. And I think that that seems to be what she's doing. I mean, she's living with him. But I don't think that a year and a half when you're in your mid to late 20s is a time frame where it's like do or die that you aren't ready to have a baby with somebody. James is only 32. Like, I just think it's, I like James and Allie as a couple, and I understand where James's sort of like underlying anxiety is about this getting this far in a relationship and then not being sure that it's going to pan out, because that's what happened last time and he doesn't want to go back to square one. But I would hate to see him sort of get in the way of a good thing that he has going because of the issue that he had with his past relationship. And so I don't know where James and Allie are kind of like post this conversation. I mean, they were together at Coachella over the weekend, so that's a good sign. Clearly they're like together. I just hope that James is able to sort of separate the two relationships, because I don't think they're the same. And, you know, I guess I would have said good things about Raquel, you know, 18 months ago. So maybe, you know, who knows how things will end up. But like for now, I think that they're in a good enough place. I think that they have enough of a thing going that they should just let it ride out. And maybe in another year, maybe in a year and a half, if Allie still isn't ready to talk about engagement, maybe that's a bigger issue. But for right now, I just like let it ride. Wow. What a journey this episode was. We talked about Scientology. We talked about Last Crumb cookies. If you're listening, send me the damn cookies. I'll eat them faster than Ariana. I guarantee she didn't post about that box. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. I can't wait to be back. We're going to be off Monday, but then we will be back later next week with more new episodes and lots to talk about. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. Send me a message or a review or whatever if you want to hear about any of the Peacock Vault shows. That sounds like a fun little side quest that we could do. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sausmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.